Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. It's time for the latest episode of In Conversation with Lee Ryder. This episode sees our chief sports writer answer the tough question going around the fan base at the moment, and that is just what Newcastle United can achieve in the rest of this Premier League season. Out of all cup competitions with 10 games left to play, and we're going to ask the question of just where Newcastle United can end up and what Newcastle United must do to save their season. I'm your host, Andrew Musgrove, and of course, joined by Lee Ryder. Lee, first off, have you recovered from Saturday and your trip to the Etihad?
Yeah, well, to be honest, the recovery started pretty early in the game because, you know, once we were 2-0 down after 32 minutes, I think we all knew it was pretty much game over. And the second half, it was a non-event. It was just going through the motions. And I know Newcastle did have a couple of openings, but we really are clutching at straws there. I didn't expect Newcastle to go there and win. I'm not unrealistic because Manchester City haven't been beaten there for a long, long time. My only disappointment was that they didn't give it a real go. Like, that was what was on the ticket beforehand. They didn't make life difficult enough for Man City. I mean, we've seen Coventry before the game, go to Wolves. I know that's a more even match, if you like. And we've seen Leicester go to Chelsea. And I think those two teams went there and made really good accounts of themselves. I didn't see enough fight from Newcastle. That disappointed me.
And it's that point that I think you make, which is really important, because I think, as you said, no one expected Newcastle to beat Man City and progress into the Cup, but it is the magic of the FA Cup and anything can happen. And I mentioned this on the Monday show with Aaron Stokes, is that the performance we saw was not inspiring. It was far too easy for Manchester City. It was pedestrian at times. And we're going to ask the question of what Newcastle can achieve in the remaining 10 games this season, still within a shout of European qualification. But if you're looking at that Man City performance from Newcastle United, and okay, they only conceded 2 goals, but if you're looking at it as something that can reignite the season, something that brought inspiration to the fan base and to the players, I have to be honest, I didn't see it. Did you?
No, I think the Newcastle team that I know under Eddie Howe, even in defeat, so I can even like use an example of when they've lost, away at Liverpool, I think it was New Year's Day, wasn't it? New Year's Day evening. And yes, they got beat 4-2, but, you know, they made life difficult for Liverpool at times in that game. And they were really pushing right until the end. And, you know, things just conspired against them. Now, had you seen them put something similar in at Man City, then, you know, you'd say, right, there's something really there. You can take it into the next game. And you've got a platform to build on. There's not much of a platform to build on there, if you're asking me. The body language of some of the players was worrying. I don't know if you observed this as well. When they were going over to applaud the fans, the camera went on Eddie Howe, and he was almost saying, come on, like, move forward a bit more. And there was only sort of three or four of them at the front that were applauding the fans. That's not saying they don't appreciate the fans. It's a case of, you know, why was that? You know, what was the issue there? I think there's a lot to be ironed out behind the scenes in the squad. So hopefully they can get to the bottom of some of the problems in Dubai and take it into the running.
How important is this trip to Dubai? We've seen in recent years when they've gone away to either Saudi or Dubai, Newcastle have tended to come back with a bit of a bounce in their step. Can they do that this time around?
I hope so. I think they did last season, didn't they? I think the season before they came back and lost at Tottenham heavily, if my mind serves me correctly. So it can work both ways. I think it's a difficult trip, really, not for the players who are on it. It can't be difficult going to a luxury resort and having the sun on your back. And I know they're not just going there to sunbathe. I know that they're going there to do some work as well, but it's a difficult one because I think there's 14 members of the squad aren't there. So whatever message he's trying to get across, you can only do it in a fragmented way. So I think that part's important, but I'm sure Eddie will make the most of the time with the players that he does have and try and brush up on certain things. And I think the players are still, you know, with the manager. I don't see any problems on that score. I just think they need to get things together a little bit. That West Ham game will come at them really fast. It's the first game of the restart, isn't it? It's a 12:30 kickoff. It's a really important one because they've already fell behind West Ham. So this trip's really important. I just think they need to perhaps, we've said it already a few times this season, get back to basics again. They managed to reset a couple of times this season for all their troubles. They've had little patches where they've got going again, and they just need they need a good little run, probably 5 or 6 games unbeaten, and I think that might just get them into a Europa Conference slot.
Which would certainly take, and for all the doom and gloom surrounding Newcastle right now, you know, they are only 7 points off 6th, and we'll get onto the league table and the fixtures to come in a moment. But just sticking with that Dubai trip, Lee, is it as much a mental refresh as it is a physical refresh, you think, that they need?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I know there's no media on this trip. I know Eddie Howe wanted it all to take place behind closed doors, and that's sort of his right as head coach. It's his call to make, and he's obviously made that decision for a reason. So I've been behind the scenes a couple of times on these kind of mid-season trips, and you know, you get into the stage of the season where there's a lot of players getting treatment, getting recovery. Again, the mental side, what you touch on, exactly right. Just trying to get those players in the right mindset for the running, because you can't run them like you can in pre-season. I'd be very surprised if they're getting there doing laps around the pitch at you know, this stage of the season, because it's just not possible, especially the injuries that have been suffered. They cannot afford to lose anymore. So I think, yeah, the mental side of it will be really important, and probably the one-on-one, the man-to-man management with sort of certain individuals who need it. I would say Alexander Isak, had he been on the trip, would have been really handy for him to have that quality face-to-face time with the manager, just to find out what exactly he prefers to play. Does he want to be down the middle on his own? Does he want Anthony Gordon a bit closer to him like he had on Saturday night? So those little conversations, I'm just using that as an example. I know Alexander Isak isn't there, but those little conversations, you know, could be really vital going into the running.
Yeah, most certainly. And like you say, not everybody's going to be there because of international duty. And I guess when we're talking about what Newcastle United can achieve and hoping for an instant turnaround against West Ham later this month, some of them, you know, some fans, Eddie Howe, Jason Tindall, perhaps will be sitting and watching, or maybe they won't be watching, you know, the internationals, because they'll think the way the season's gone thus far, they're definitely getting a text off someone saying, yeah, he's done his knee and he's done his ankle. And in a way, as much as you want your players included in the squad, and we spoke about it in last week's episode, Anthony Gordon, Gareth Southgate proved me wrong. He must have been listening. Fully deserved. Great to see. Great for the brand for Newcastle United to have players representing England. But at the same time, their luck this season with injuries has been horrendous. And, you know, it would not surprise me if that bad luck continues and someone ends up coming back out the next 2 weeks injured. And Eddie Howe must just be keeping everything crossed so that won't be the case.
Oh, he will be petrified of something going wrong, especially the games where the non-competitive, the friendly games. I mean, imagine picking up a really bad, you know, even a 6-week injury now is basically that's your season over. So, yeah, it's great Anthony Gordon's in there, but we just, you know, hope that him and Bruno can get through that Brazil game. And then obviously they've got other games as well. Just hope that there is a bit of common sense from the international managers. There's plenty of conversations, plenty of dialogue between international coaches and club staff. I'm sure they'll all be in touch. They'll know pretty soon if someone gets injured, believe me. So I think that's important. And, you know, managing the minutes of the players. You can't I'll be disappointed if Anthony Gordon is made to play two times 90 minutes in the space of a couple of days for England. You know, I hope he gets his first cap. You know, that doesn't worry me if he plays in both games, but as long as he's not playing the full 90 minutes in both those games. And the same would go for any Newcastle player involved in international duty in the next few days.
Yeah, it's going to be one to wait and see. We're looking at the league table, Lee, and the question is, what can Newcastle United achieve in the remainder of the season? They're currently 10th on 40 points, 7 points off 6th, 4 points off 7th where West Ham are. So that kind of proves just what a big game the next game is. And then below them, Chelsea, just a point off with a game in hand, which is quite crucial. Fulham, 2 points off. And Newcastle got a game in hand on Fulham. And then Bournemouth down to 13th on 35 points. And Newcastle kind of in the middle there, you know, win either side for any one of those teams makes Newcastle United's season look a little bit different. We've got to be looking up though, haven't we, Lee? Is that a little bit difficult to do though when you do consider the performances of late? I mean, the Wolves one is probably the one that stands out as a great performance. But on the whole, they've not exactly been brilliant. And I think when fans are looking for a little bit of hope and a little bit of inspiration and encouragement, I can understand why some might struggle.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at the league table there as we speak, and there's a lot of work to be done. If you look at we're sitting in 10th, and even let's say that last Europa Conference League place does end up, I have heard that 8th could be enough, but let's say it's 7th, just for argument's sake for the minute. We're still 4 points behind that. And we're playing West Ham, so that you cannot afford to lose that game against West Ham. It's a must win, really, but you cannot afford to lose it because you're going to fall too far behind. And, you know, I hear what you're saying about 7 points, only 7 points. At this stage in the season, that is I wouldn't say it was a mountain to climb, but it's a steep hill to climb. And yeah. Newcastle would have to, you know, win a couple and potentially draw somewhere difficult and hope Man United stumble. I mean, look, I guess that Man United game now has been called off because they progressed to the semi-finals of the Cup. So it could be an interesting midweek later in the season. Fixtures piling up as well now. That's 2 games Newcastle have had postponed, the Crystal Palace one. We await the date for that. But whatever we look at it, by the time we get to the start of April, Newcastle will have the remaining fixtures, which will be 9 games to fit in before May the 19th. And, you know, they've obviously got that end-of-season trip to Australia as well to factor in. I know that's non-competitive, but it's a very congested period between now and the end of May for Newcastle. And it's going to be interesting.
I mean, I've seen some people say, you know, we want to be aiming to see Newcastle picking up X amount of points, basically just saying, you know, we expect them to win quite a few games. But I look at the games they've got. I mean, West Ham, you know, you don't really know what you're going to get with West Ham, but they're a dangerous side. The game down in London, you know, showed that it was a good competitive game. You know, you've then got Everton, who will be fighting for their lives. Fulham, you don't know what team they're going to turn up as. I mean, obviously, Newcastle have beaten them once this season, but they were helped by that red card. And you know, Fulham have shown they can definitely dance with the best of them. Spurs will be fighting for Champions League football. Then you've got the Man United game, as I say, which has been postponed. But then Sheffield United and Burnley, one after the other, two teams who will have been buoyed because at the time of recording this, Nottingham Forest have just been deducted 4 points. So that's an extra carrot for them to kind of chase. Brighton, as we say, also going for the same prize. Brentford, not out of the fight for survival at the moment. So, I mean, they might be come the 19th of May, but the point is, there's not an easy game. I know it's a cliche to say there's no easy games in the Premier League, and there's not, but nearly every one of those teams Newcastle have got left to play have something to fight for. Maybe Fulham aside, potentially. The rest of them are all fighting for something. Newcastle are going to have to really, really work hard to get their wins.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're also asking, I take everything on board you're saying there, and you're right, there's no easy games. The one thing we're asking Newcastle United to do here is something I don't think they've done all season, which is probably, I don't think they've strung more than 3 Premier League wins together in a row. I mean, I'd be delighted if they could win 10 games in a row, but that's a huge ask. And they certainly haven't been the team that wins 10 games in a row this season. So to even win three or four in a row, which would then flip your season back on the course that you wanted to be on, is a huge ask as well. I mean, even beating West Ham and Everton back to back is a tough ask, because of exactly what you just said. Both teams have got something to play for, and the good thing is they're both at St James's Park, but they need momentum to take into that Everton game, and the only way they can get momentum is by beating West Ham. West Ham, they're a very good side, really. If you look at what they've achieved, they won a trophy last season. I know they've had some ups and downs this season. People at West Ham never convinced with David Moyes, but he's a very experienced manager. You'll know what it's all about coming up to St James Park. So, yeah, it's going to be tough, but it's a must win against West Ham, and then must follow up with a positive result against Everton, just to try and breathe new life into the season.
Mm. Yeah, you are right. They haven't won more than three games in a row, and you've got to go back to the sixth and seventh game of this season. That's when they won three on the bounce, and then they've won two on the bounce on the 13th and 14th game week, and then they haven't won more than one in a row since then. So that, I think that's probably been the biggest concern, hasn't it, Lee, is that every time we think they've turned a corner, they tend to take a step back. And this is the problem going into this remaining run of fixtures, because as you say, to get European qualification, they're going to have to find that consistency which has been lacking them all season, really. And I don't think many people can see them doing that. What's the solution, do you think? Is it just hard work and hope that this Dubai trip works a bit of magic?
kind of is along them lines, really. It's a bit of a Hail Mary, really, for Eddie Howe now. Sort of last throw of the dice, whatever way you want to look at it. If we're going off the law of averages, let's say in the last 10 games, they win three, they draw four, and they lose the rest. That's not going to be enough to get into Europe, I don't think. Because last season, I think Aston Villa needed 61 points to get into Europa Conference League. And Spurs finished below them on it. So if it's eighth place, Spurs got 60 points. Now, no two seasons are generally the same, but it's a reasonable measuring stick. So I don't know, your maths might be better than mine, but I've got them down. If we go off, win three, draw four and lose the rest, then that's sort of 52, 53, 54 points. So
yeah,
it's not going to be enough, is it? So they need to do something spectacular.
And is there anything there that you look at and you might admit you're clutching at straws, but is there something there that you can give our listeners and viewers a hope that they can finish the season strongly, whether it be players returning, whether it be a little look to what they did last season when they got over the line for the Champions League? Is there anything that's just kind of burning inside that's given you hope?
Well, there's straws to clutch on. I don't think I could stand here and sell it, as Newcastle can definitely do. I mean, I certainly remember I think it was 2005, 2006 season on a Glen Rhoda, and there was seven games left, and they were fighting for an Intertotal Cup place then, which I'm sure you remember. I'm sure that was around your era as well. And there was seven games left, and loads of people had written them off. And they used that to their advantage, because they used it as a bit of fuel. And I'm sure Eddie Howe will have to lean on that as well. But they won six and drew one from the last seven. So I remember it. We went down to Charlton and got a good beating down there. It was a shocking performance. And even Alan Shearer didn't want to talk after the game when they were like getting on the bus, which was just unusual. He said, "I've got nothing to say." And then they ended up, as I say, winning six and drawing one. And they just scraped into the Intertotal Cup on the last day. They beat Chelsea. So I think if you offered it to Eddie Howe now and said, would you be would you be okay with it going to the last day? He would take your hand off for that. He really would, because he knows that would keep them alive going into that finale at Brentford. And then, yeah, that'll determine the mood on the team flight to Australia, I guess. Whatever happens on that day.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, that is a good point, that the Glenn Rhoda season. Then I'm sure Eddie Howe will be looking to use every little bit of motivation. I guess, you know, he might look at the fact that, okay, Harvey Barnes is coming out injured, but he hopefully back for this run in. Anthony Gordon's escaped a serious injury. Sven Botman's injury hopefully won't be too bad. He's getting the players back, and he will have options. Lewis Miley, Elliot Anderson. Now, the options are starting to come back. Do you think he might start to change personnel to try and ensure that they can finish the season strongly?
Well, you changed formation at Man City. I asked him about it after the game. So was that a one-off, or do you think, you know, that could be the way going forward? And then he dropped another little hint that he wanted to see Gordon and Isak as a two in a sort of 5-5-3-2. And that suggests that he's thinking about the dynamic in attack as well. I don't think he's going to park the bus in all the games. I think we'll see something more familiar against West Ham. It'll be probably back to 4-3-3, I would imagine, and on the front foot. I think players-wise, I think Lewis Hall, it must be, if this isn't a window for him now to come in and have a run in the team, then it's never going to be. I know he's a young player, but in this season, he's sat and waited for his chance all the way through. Done nothing wrong the other night. In the time he was on the pitch, did okay. And that was probably a reintroduction for him. So, you know, he's a player they could use. He could come in. Elliot Anderson's back now. So he can basically bring you some energy in midfield. There's talk for Sean Longstaff needing a rest. But he might have his 2 weeks rest in this Dubai thing. So he might come back refreshed, but if he doesn't and he's still got the injury problem, then Elliot Anderson is a player that can, you know, come in and grasp his chance. And he'll be fired up with enthusiasm because, you know, this was meant to be his season for Elliot Anderson. And he sat back injured, and Lewis Miley's basically, you know, he's come in and done brilliant. I'm sure they're all delighted for him. But that was kind of, he stole the show for the academy by coming in and having such a great season. So, yeah, there is some options to energise the team. But overall, it's got to be the collective, and it's got to be a winning formula from Eddie Howe in these last 10 games.
Yeah, they've got to find, or rediscover rather, what made them so brilliant last season. But a lot of people that I've spoken to want to see the youngsters get given a chance, which some might look at as they think the season's kind of done and dusted, and you let Lewis Hall play, Miley, Elliot Anderson. But I look at it upon, well, especially Miley and Anderson, from what we've seen, don't look out of place in this side. And Lewis Hall, like you say, decent performance against City, and he's got to get his chance sooner rather than later. So maybe we will see those feature more in the last 10 games of the season. How importantly is the home form in this? 5 home games in the run-in. You know, West Ham, Everton, who else have we got on that list? Totally escaped my mind there. We've got
Tottenham,
Sheffield United and Brighton. How important is the home form going to be? Because that seems to be the only place Newcastle can pick up wins of late.
Well, I would say four out of five of those fixtures are tough, extremely tough. And Newcastle will need, they'll need at least to find the B game to win a couple of them, and the A game for some of them as well. I think Sheffield United will be pretty much done by then. So I think I'd like to think that the Sheffield United game is a foregone conclusion. And if they did lose to Sheffield United at home, then, you know, we really have got some problems, haven't we? That goes without saying. So yeah, but even now you're putting them five fixtures in front of me. If you're a betting man, are they going to win all five? Tottenham would be tough.
That's the issue, isn't it, though? Because you look at it and you know you went into these games against Bournemouth and Luton thinking Newcastle should get the better of them, and they couldn't. So that's why I'm not sitting here thinking, yeah, they get the better of Everton. Like you say, Spurs is going to be a difficult one. You know, Sheffield United. But you're right. I can't sit here and say I'm already confident of them picking up wins in like any of the games. I might feel a little bit better after a 2 week break, but you know you look at them looking at Bournemouth games and you're thinking, you know, they weren't great home against sides, with all due respect, they should be beating at St James's Park.
Yeah, I mean, in the end of both those games you just mentioned there, if maybe we all thought it at the time, that could end up being a good point or could end up being a point gained. But the way it's unfolded, that might not be the case. And if Newcastle were to miss out on a European place by 3 or 4 points, then you know you're looking at them games in particular and saying, yeah, that's one of the big places it went wrong. I mean, look, everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong this season, so they need to pretty much address that. The only thing that's really gone right for Newcastle this season is Anthony Gordon's form, Lewis Miley's emergence, you know, bursting onto the scene. And probably Alexander Isak's, you know, form in front of goal has been good. Bruno's had a pretty steady season, but you know, Fabian Schär had done all right until I said he was player of the season, and then the last two games at Chelsea and Man City, he's not had a great game. So yeah, it's gone wrong the majority of the time this season. So they must try and address that going into the last 10 games.
Now, we're going to run a panel piece which will go online at chroniclelive.co.uk, where myself, Lee, Kieran Kelly, Aaron Stokes, maybe a couple of others will be answering a few questions on Newcastle's season, on the weeks to come and what can be achieved. And I'll start with the first question, Lee, because I thought you could answer them on here as well. And the first question, very straightforward. Does Eddie Howe's future now rest solely on finishing in Europe?
Well, I've actually already started responding to the question by email to Aaron, but so I'll tell you what I basically said in it. I said Europe will be important, yes, but a respectable top half finish might still be enough. And I think it's going to be about the manner now of how Eddie Howe finishes the season. So 10 games, we say 10 and it feels like not very many, but it's a long time in the context of the season. It's two full months to get things right. So I don't think necessarily he has to get into Europe to survive. I think he has to have a strong finish to the season. And it's going to be the manner of the performances in those 10 games. Now, if we start losing games and leaking goals left, right and centre, and with 4 games to go in the bottom half, then I don't think anybody needs to be told that that's going to get questioned. And, you know, maybe he would still be here in the summer, but then are the owners asking, well, do we want to potentially, you know, put a transfer kitty forward and then get it wrong again, and then you're going into another season of disarray? I don't know. I think it's a crucial time for him. I mean, personally, you know, I look at his win ratio and it's second only to Kevin Keegan in the club's Premier League history. His points ratio is up there with Sir Bobby Robson and Kevin Keegan. So historically, he's got it right. So if history's anything to go off, he'll get it right again. But if he doesn't and he slips in the bottom half of the table, then it's going to get magnified again. So, and we know one thing. We know what the owners are in the UK are thinking. Jamie Rubin and Amanda Staveley have both kind of publicly backed Eddie Howe in the past, for Darren Eales talking about him in glowing terms. But what we don't know is what's being discussed behind closed doors in Saudi Arabia, and what are they thinking? Because we've only really had one public interview, and that was, we want to be number one, and they're nowhere near number one. So if that's anything to go off, then they're going to naturally be thinking about potentially changing. But they'll want an A-list manager to come in, and that's everything to do with what we've seen in Saudi Arabia. Is they want the best of the best, and we've seen it at the F1, we've seen it with the boxing. They want everything to be, you know, a box office event, and they'll want a box office name. Whatever happens with Eddie Howe, whether he gets it right or wrong, the next manager of Newcastle United will be a box office manager, in my opinion. I don't think we'll go down a similar road to Eddie Howe. They'll do something totally different. So we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, 10 games, they probably need to win 6 or 7 of them. There's not much room for error. If they can win 6 out of 10, then I think he's got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, yeah. If he gets the points on the board, you'll be just fine. Because at the end of the day, as simple as it sounds, that's what matters, is getting those wins. Do you sense, you're there week in, week out at the press conferences, you're at all the games. When you're talking to Eddie Howe, have you sensed a change in his demeanour? Do you feel like he's feeling a little bit under pressure, or is he just the same old Eddie Howe?
Yeah, a little bit of a complex answer. I heard what Jamie Carragher said last week when he said, this looks like a team ready for the summer. I didn't agree with that because I thought the team were fighting at Chelsea. But I have to say, the mood in some press conferences lately, having covered many seasons, it's almost like we're at the point in the season where the manager doesn't want to be around the media, doesn't want to be in press conferences. He'll do it, of course he will, because he has to, because that's his duty. But the mood is, he's kind of had enough of the journalists at this point. He's had enough of sitting there for half an hour every Friday morning and the questions coming in from different angles. And it gets to the point in the season where there's a big sigh of relief from the manager that he's done his last one and he can go away on holiday. So I think I've had that feeling in the last probably couple of press conferences, even though Eddie Howe's been brilliant and answered pretty much everyone's questions. There's probably been a couple of ones where people have got one-word answers or two-word answers. And I think that is a sign of fatigue, mental fatigue. I mean, look, I wouldn't like to think how many press conferences he's had to do this season. It must be close to half century of press conferences when you're weighing all the Champions League, when you're weighing all the pre-season ones. It's a lot for one person to face the media so many times. And it's natural that he is going to be getting a bit fatigued. So this break hopefully will refresh everybody.
Fingers crossed. The penultimate question then I'm going to ask you is what is the priority number one for the summer transfer window? So if we go for positionally, your top position and maybe a name that potentially springs to mind.
Yeah, I think just with the injuries Newcastle have had to Isak and Wilson, then I do think they need a new centre-forward, and probably the two centre-forwards that have impressed me this season, one of them being Victor Boniface at Bayer Leverkusen before he got injured. I know Newcastle were looking at him, but he hasn't played since the end of last year, and he's meant to be coming back in the next couple of weeks. I think he's had a groin injury. Regardless of that, I think he'd be a good signing for Newcastle. The other player that I think Newcastle have been looking at, who I think's had a really good season, is Saru Gerassi at Stuttgart, it is, and he's got 20-plus goals this season. So either one of them would be probably the type of marquee signing that would get the fans excited. And after that, really, just some improvements to the squad, because obviously they've had problems this season. Eddie Howe mentioned the other night, technical ability, which Man City had more of than Newcastle. So they probably need a bit of that. And, you know, this season, obviously, Dan Burns played a lot on the left of defence. He's not really a left back, even though he had a good season the season before. Joe Linton, his injury exposed him a little bit. And I think they probably just need down that left-hand side to bolster up a little bit. You know, Joe Linton hopefully signs his contract and comes back. But, yeah, I just think a bit more down the left-hand side wouldn't do Newcastle any harm at all.
Yeah, we'll wait and see what they do in the transfer market. There's a few other questions on this panel story. We'll have to go on the website to see what they are and the answers from Lee and the rest of the team. The final question that I am going to ask you, Lee, is for your prediction. Where are Newcastle going to finish this season?
Well, that's a real tough question.
No one likes predictions, do they? No one likes doing them, but I'm going to have to ask you.
It's a real tough question, that. I think they might finish eighth. I do.
And then we have
whether eighth will be enough to get. We'll have to wait and see what other teams do in Europe and stuff like that, and where certain teams finish and what cups are won. So I think we'll finish eighth. So that might be enough. It might not be enough. So, but that's just the season we're having, isn't it? Everything's just up in the air. So
it certainly is. But I mean, if, and I said that was the final question, this will be the final question, but if they don't get Europe, it's not the end of the world, is it? Because I think Pep Guardiola maybe referenced it earlier this week, talking about how Newcastle's troubles have come because they've played, three games in a week. Now, obviously, getting the Conference League, getting back into Europe helps Newcastle get a bit more used to it because they have to do it all over again, and that'll help them in the years to come. But on the other side of that, if they don't have to play European football, they then have a free hit at the Premier League. You bring in two or three quality players in the summer, you hopefully don't have any more bad luck with injuries, then you have a free hit at maybe getting back into the top four without the pressure of a really busy schedule.
I mean, yeah, that is very true, but I guess then the long-term effect of that is the next time you go into Europe, you're back to square one again, and you're kind of not used to it. So, I mean, Pep Guardiola's press conference was sort of captivating, really, after, he'd finished talking about Man City. He gave that kind of long speech about Newcastle not being used to playing three games a week. And I think he said the words three games a week probably 24 times in that press conference, because it just must have been in his head a little bit. And then he started using it about Newcastle, and we're just not used to doing that. So, yeah, I guess the Europa Conference League could be seen as a very long-winded competition. And you're almost then building a different squad, because you're building a squad where you've got 1-11 for the Thursday night, if potentially younger players, more hungry players, and then 1-11 for the Premier League, who's challenging to get in the top four. You can't do both. You kind of have a team that plays three times a week. So it's a real balancing act. But yeah, if you put me on the spot and saying, would you take being in the Europa Conference League or not being in Europe, then I think I'd say take the European place, because it's going to give you experience. It's going to give the youngsters a taste of Europe, and it's going to give the fans, the most important thing, it's going to give the fans something to look forward to.
Yeah, I'd take European football as well. And I think the Conference League would be some experience, and you have a better chance of really progressing as well. And then you get the experience on top of that of a busy schedule, and it's European football. And, trips to the continent, we enjoyed Dortmund and Paris and Milan last season. So, I know you go a bit further and a bit more obscure places in the Europa Conference, but it'd be some journey. Let us know in the comments what you would want. Would you want to be in the Europa Conference next season, or would you rather a free hit at the Premier League? Let us know in the comments. This has been In Conversation with Lee Ryder. Thank you very much, as always, for tuning in. Head over to chroniclelive.co.uk to see that panel piece that I've been mentioning, and a host of other stuff to keep you entertained through the international break. And for myself and Lee, we'll see you guys next week.